Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan. With me, as always, is my good friend Jim Stamm. How you doing, sir?
Gary, I'm okay. My back is a little sore and my hamstrings are a little sore. I took five swings in the batting cage yesterday when I took when I took my son to go hit a little. And I'm like, watch how dad does it. Now, I make good contact, but I'm old. It's official.
I remember those days, too. And I think I got calluses after about 10 swings the one day. And that's when I really started feeling old right then.
It's brutal.
And Rob, how are you doing, sir? I'm pleasantly pleased to see that you have also grown COVID Maine. That's pretty exciting for me. I'm not alone this week. This is Rob Allman. He is the staff cartoonist at DK Pittsburgh Sports. And
yes,
hello everyone. We are so excited to have him on because, first of all, I really like the cartoon canon on DK Pittsburgh Sports. I think it's really cool. That's where I've come to appreciate his work until I was lucky enough to be one of the people that he drew, which is really cool. Just to have somebody do a cartoon of you that you're not trying to hide in your closet. It was a lot better than the Butler Fair, I'll tell you that, folks. But with DK opening the new store, we thought it'd be great to have Rob Allman on because he's going to have some merchandise for sale there. And I thought, hey, let's have him on because he's also a baseball fan. He wants to talk sports with us too. So, Rob, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk sports and sell anything that's not nailed down. So, looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome.
Good stuff. So we're going to start out with some meat and potatoes, because I think just about every week we're not going to really be able to escape the CBA. We might as well make it an upfront topic. And it's been 42 days since MLBPA and MLB sat down. Thank God the man who proudly wore that number wasn't as dumb as those running the game today. But that was it. It was a punt. I read some of the proposal that leaked out already. It was a punt. That's all this was. Jim, anything you got to say about it? I've been reading a little bit. I'll read some of the quotes that came out of it. But
yeah, I mean, just real quick, I mean, kind of sitting here all day in between work, just waiting for some morsels to come out, right? And so we got a few of them. Pretty underwhelming. I know we're going to talk about a little bit of it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what I expected. I was on the fence if anything substantive would come of it. It doesn't look like it. So, yeah, it was a punt.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, Rob, I know you were working right before this, so I really need to read you some of the quotes, I think, before you can comment, huh?
Yeah, I to be honest, and then this is coming from somebody who, you know, I follow it very very much like a civilian. I expected nothing today, and it seems like that's exactly what they gave us. It really does seem like one of those things to me, again, uneducated opinion, where they're just going to, you know, just kick the can down the road as far as they can. Once in a while, they'll have this stunt where they, yeah. you know, talks are happening, and then nothing substantive comes of it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took from it this time too. And the big quote that really kind of stuck out with me, and I really wanted to get your opinions on this one, Rob, I'm going to bounce right back to you on this.
Okay.
They said that they increased money for Super 2 players, which would mean that they have to kind of admit that they've been manipulating it in the first place, because they say they're going to award draft picks to teams that don't manipulate service time.
Right.
Now, how can you determine that? Because that's kind of been the claim all along, is that you can't determine that. You can't say the Rays were manipulating Wander Franco, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if you say it, you admit it, right? Like you said.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's not fluent enough in it to speak in all the terms, but it just does really seem like, just kick the can down the road.
Exactly. And, I mean, Jim, I know you probably have an opinion on this, but, you know, you've worked in law enforcement in some way, shape, or form before. If somebody comes in and says, hey, we're guilty, but don't use this in court.
it is the premium up a prime example of, you know, how do you determine intent, mm-hmm. which does go straight to kind of like the legal system with some things, you know, yeah. and what is premeditated, how do you determine what the intent is, or even prove it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to. Clearly, they're admitting it's a problem. I mean, first proposal we see here that has come out, it's like one of the main things that they wanted to address with the players. So it's a big admission. I just don't know how in the world you could ever – I mean, who would decide that? Would it be some kind of like panel? I mean, how
would you have to file a grievance? Like, how does that work? Like, I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and that's one thing. Okay. How do you define a Super 2? Okay. Or how do you define whether it was manipulated or not? That's weird enough already. The fact they left Super 2s in this is really odd to me. I thought that would be pretty much the easiest thing to get rid of. I thought that'd be the first thing they knocked off without even much effort.
Well, I mean, then it tells you that for some reason it's either important to one party or important to both enough that they've felt the need to keep it in. I don't know which way that falls. It sounds to me, and what else did they talk about? They talked about awarding draft picks to teams that don't manipulate.
Yeah, discussed. That's crazy. Right.
It does. I mean, like, that is – then you're really getting into, like, now you are really affecting, like, competitive balance and determining, you know, what kind of drafts teams can have. My goodness.
I mean, Rob, you're a guy that works in freelance a lot. So
yes.
When you walk into a room and you say, I need $400 to do this job, and they come back with $300.
Right.
A month later, they call you up and say, hey, Rob, listen, we're still willing to pay that $300. Does it change your mind and all of a sudden you want to do the work? Maybe you're a month more desperate, and that's what the owners are kind of hoping for, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always one of those things where, you know, you kind of have your number in mind, and they have their number in mind, and you kind of meet in the middle somewhere. But if there's no, you know, if you know, desperation, I don't think this is the same kind of situation where people are going to get desperate in that manner that they're going to decide to take it later. You know, I don't know.
The point of a lockout period is to put pressure. So
yeah.
If you're not to the point where you're going to lose games, guess what? They haven't applied yet.
Right.
So to me, losing games was always going to happen. I know that, Jim, you've disagreed with that before, but losing games to me was always going to happen as soon as they decided to go the lockout route. Because there's no sense in doing it if you're not going to lose games. That's your pressure point.
Well, I can say for myself, speaking as just a, you know, somebody who doesn't have the depth of experience that you guys have, I just assumed that was going to happen. You know, I hoped it wouldn't, but it just seems like one of those things that always follows an event like this.
Right.
Except maybe in the NFL where everything is such a much bigger deal. But, you know, whether it's hockey or you know, which, you know, unfortunately more lockouts there that I have more familiarity with. It's always going to come down to that's when the wheels are really going to start turning, right?
Absolutely.
When once the games start going away.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, just, you know, I have been kind of outspoken. I thought that the way they implemented the lockout, you know, as fast as they could, I thought that there would be too much money to lose coming off of all the COVID stuff, that I really did think it would be something that they wouldn't want to happen, especially the owners this time, oddly enough, because there's a lot of owners with, yeah, they've got deep pockets, but they're highly, highly leveraged, and they've got a lot of things to pay for, and some of them have stadiums to pay for and ballparks and whatnot. So I just thought it might be different this time around, but maybe the thing with baseball is that you realize the more things change, the more they stay the same, and the history of the game has taught us that they are willing to go down this road.
Yeah, and I think like I said, I called this a punt from the beginning. That's what this first proposal was. I feel that in my bones. They didn't move on anything really major. Higher minimum salary. That's about it. I was more taken back by some of the admissions in there. And I almost can't wait to see the formal language if it actually comes out, because I'm hoping the way that this reads was just poorly worded by the reporters as opposed to what actually came out of their mouths, because this is just silly to box yourself into a corner. That's a good place for a break. But before we actually go, I want to give Rob a chance to tell you a little bit about the things he's going to have for sale in the new store. Lord willing and the Mon don't rise. There's going to be a new store on Fifth Avenue, and I wanted him to have a chance to talk about some of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're still in talks. We're still trying to figure out exactly what it's going to be. But, you know, I can say with all confidence, of course, you know, the cartoon canon strips. We have a book that we put out a couple of years ago, and a few copies of that remain. So that'll be in there, of course. Probably a good selection of prints of the various cartoon canon strips. So, gosh, I think I'm, you know, up around 250 or 300 of them now. So I'll try to represent
as
many.
It's a pretty big catalog.
Yeah, it's amazing when I go back through and just look at just how many of these things I've done. It's kind of wild because you just never run out of memories, never run out of events, I guess. And you start having to get more and more obscure, which is where it almost starts getting more fun. You know, some of the real popular ones will be in there. I create a hockey comic, that's not, Pittsburgh centric necessarily,
old-timey, but more just
old timey hockey tales. Yeah. Three issues of that are out right now. And it just kind of goes and, you know, details some of the, you know, various stories from the history of hockey, some true, some probably a little bit less true, but always pretty entertaining. I've always been fascinated by the history of the NHL and just some of the characters and crazy events that happened back before as many people were paying attention and you didn't have the kind of media landscape you do now.
Right.
So that, you know, and maybe some like fun merch too. I have I work on a lot of kind of state-based designs. I have I live in Virginia, but I have a sort of a line of different state drawings that I do. Hopefully maybe get those in there. Maybe some, you know, fun stickers or t-shirts or,
you know. Yeah, I saw you did a Capitals comic strip. So
yeah.
I hope people can get past that and enjoy what which you normally do here. But I'll tell you what, we do have to take a break now. Yeah. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more Buccos, everybody.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. We're sitting down with Rob Allman, the staff cartoonist at DK Pittsburgh Sports, and Jim Stamm, Gary Morgan with you as always. And today we wanted to touch on our poll that we have never, ever gotten into the rhythm of having be weekly.
We but, say it is, but...
We say it's weekly, but we just don't do it. But the poll this week was interesting to me. I put up, when you look at the Pirates system, do you see enough to form a winner? And of course, development has to happen. I really wanted some answers from this, and you guys came through. I mean, you guys pounded us with some really good answers. First, the results, yes, was 70, we'll call it 71%. And no was 29%. I was a little bit surprised by that because, and maybe this is just the nature of human beings that the more pessimistic of us tend to reply more often than the optimistic, or maybe it's just a reflection of our followers. A lot of you have drank the Kool-Aid. maybe that's why it came out that way. But 70% of you think that what is in the system is enough to create a winner. And I'll start with our buddy Scott Nelson here for a reply, because I he's always folksy the way he replies. And I dig it. Says, yes, they have a star in Reynolds, potential star in Hayes, Cruz and pieces both here and coming up that are more than the, well, we think they'll fill a role guys. So pretty good stuff there. And I think that's pretty close to where I fall on that. I do think the system has enough to augment that. Rob, you're watching from a distance, and you've just watched your local baseball club. I would imagine you're probably close to the Nationals somewhere over there, yeah, right?
Close-ish. So, depending on traffic, you know, it's closer than PNC.
You just watched them decimate their roster.
Yeah.
So even if you are starting to transition fandom, you understand this.
Oh, no, there'll be no transitioning. It's there's a quick, funny story about me and Nationals Park. I usually go see the Pirates there. I am an unbelievable something like 0-12, 0-13 seeing the Pirates at Nationals Park. That includes 2013 through 2015. I have never seen a win there.
You didn't even see the Starling Marte walk-off?
No, I missed that one. I didn't go to – I was like, I've had enough of this. I'm not doing this anymore. I saw a real exciting game in 2014. Pirates came back and tied it in the ninth and then lost on a walk-off by Bryce Harper. Went to all three games one year. They lost them all. I mean, it's just – it's a bloodbath every time. But, Yeah, I'm sorry, I completely sidetracked your question. yeah, you know, when I look at the team, it's in answering the poll, there's what I want to believe, and then there's, you know, cruel reality coming at me at the same time. I do feel like there are a lot of pieces there. I mean, you think about their last little run of success. You don't need that much, you know? You don't need – it's not like you need like nine superstars. You just need, you know, a few of them, and then
– Right, like Josh Harrison was a piece of the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Jordy Mercer. Some of these guys who you kind of forget about. Yeah, Jordy Mercer and Josh Harrison are great examples because they seem to – you know, they seemed to get a hit where it was needed, and they had their heroic moments to go along with the, you know, the more superstar types. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I think anything could happen. Development is key. Development is key.
Absolutely. And Jim, you know, we talk about development all the time. Of course it's important. I don't want to glaze over that and pretend that everybody's going to hit projections, but this was really more meant to be, in my eyes, a reality check for people. I keep hearing people super excited that the system is ranked as number one or will be ranked as number one, and that means this will happen in X year. Okay, well, so you're saying you look at that system and tell me that it's there? They don't need to go get anything? I mean, what do you think there?
Well, I mean, for me, it's not. I voted no simply because I'm not sure, you know, if we look back at when the Pirates had their, you know, 3-year run there, and you look at the type of guys that they had that could, you know, well, McCutchen was a guy that could carry a team at times, but you're going to need a couple big stars, big guys that can carry you, that you can't pitch around all the time in a lineup, that are just built differently from a baseball perspective. It puts a lot of pressure on guys like O'Neill Cruz, quite frankly, coming up. And, you know, I'm of the mindset of being very careful with him because of that and his development. Ke'Bryan Hayes, we have a little bit of a mixed bag on. I think he's super talented. I think that's obvious. Offensively, you've got to see more from him. We've got Brian Reynolds right now, and he's fantastic, but he's going to need some help. And that's not even getting into the pitching side of things. So, you know, obviously, they're in better shape. There's no doubt about that. Are they on a winning path that I like to be confident in? I'm not sure yet. I'm just not. And I think it might be a little disingenuous for me to just point at farm system rankings and say, you know, hey, it's just a matter of time. Some of these guys are going to have to turn into kind of impact, high impact baseball players, because those guys will not come from anywhere but the system.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, honestly. That's a lot of words to say kind of what I was going to say was I voted no because I've never seen a team in baseball do it without trading. I've never seen a team do it completely through their system. Even Tampa Bay trades. Like, so I just don't see that happening. I guess I could believe it's all there if I believed that everything would kind of translate its way up through the system and just magically appear as the best version of itself. But I just don't see it internally. I think they'll end up having to make some moves to make the pieces fit, right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, they're going to have to fill in some holes and fill some roles through free agency and maybe some deadline deals. But to expect it to come from outside, that's probably just not even realistic. So we really are sitting here waiting on all this talent acquisition to sort itself out, see what develops, And man, we got to hit on a couple of these dudes. We really got to hit on of these dudes.
It's really important that one of these pitchers is a star. A star. Yeah. Not just good. Like, we need a, and, you know, go back a few years to even when we didn't win. They need a Denny Nagel.
Yeah.
They need somebody that's really going to hit the ground running and be that guy. And that's going to be really crucial to whether this all works or not. That could be Quinn Priester, Ruwanzi, I don't care who it is, but it's got to be somebody. And you need at least a complimentary guy. So, to me, I think they're going to have to go out. But our friend Nick and Graves both referenced in their comments the quality of the depth is why they think the answer is yes. Because, and I'll put it exactly as Graves did, the gap between being a star, a complimentary player, or trade bait is shrinking in this system. And that is a really, really good way to look at it, because what she's saying basically is they are creating so little separation between who's like going to be a star and who's maybe going to bomb out that she feels the depth will kind of bleed its way through, basically creating more of those Gary Varsho, Josh Harrison, Jordy Mercer types on the low end. And the high end is an O'Neill Cruz type. So I like the way she put that. I'm not 100% sure, again, that I buy into that 100%. I think they're going to have to go and get somebody, but it's an interesting way to look at it. Rob, what do you think?
Well, when you put it that way, it's hard to imagine a team like the Pirates ever being able to, you know, strictly on system. I mean, you look at somebody like, Russell Martin before, how much came from him, how much came from bringing in AJ Burnett, how much came from just, those couple of players that came in from outside to complement what you had. And it's a great point about McCutchen too, being able to carry a team because, you know, you remember when he was at his, you know, at his peak, you know, you didn't want to miss an at bat because something was always happening with him. And, is any of these guys that guy?
Sterling Marte was a lot better too before he was asked to do that job.
Right, right.
That's not easy.
And we got to give, you know, a lot of people bash that regime on their way out, the Neil Huntington regime. But, I mean, they really did nail a few things, like Rob mentioned, with Burnett and Russell Martin. And Liriano was in there. I mean, like, man, those were – if you got to have a little luck in there, they got it. But that's what you're going to have to do is find those kinds of guys and pieces again, especially if you are a little bit short on some of that superstar potential. And they just – I mean, they really nailed that part of it. I don't know if that is – talked about enough, quite that honestly.
That was partially luck, but that was partially that was partially something that people just pretend didn't happen too. They straight up went out and kept Liriano after he proved he was a good pitcher. They extended him. They made that happen. Like they went and signed Russell Martin. They didn't trade a bunch of prospects for an aging catcher. They went and signed him. They wanted him. They went and got him.
Matter of fact, those were, I mean, historically, it's kind of sad, but those are two of the Pirates' biggest free agent signings ever when you look at it.
Yeah, Liriano and Martin, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you look back, people don't think about that at all. They talk about how they let the team fall apart after 2015, and they're right, but they don't think about that crucial point a few years before where they kept it together and put it together.
Huge pieces.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I always think, you know, this is one of these, again, the uneducated opinion coming out, but, and I've always kind of, you know, talked about this just among friends. You know, what if, you know, in 2015, I felt like they were just maybe, just a move like that in 2015 really could have helped them. That was such a weird season because they played so well and they were so good, but once you got to the point where, you know, it just seemed like it was going to be, what's his name? Arrieta in the wild card game. And we were going to lose, and that was going to be it. At least for me, you know, I spent the entire month of September thinking that, and that's exactly what happened. And I wonder if, you know, gosh, if they had just been able to move, you know, because they ended up moving, to Tampa Bay for Archer.
Meadows.
Meadows.
You're the only person in the world whose mind it has slipped, sir.
Oh, gosh. I'm under pressure here. Of course I know who it is. But, you know, gosh, why did they move Meadows, you know, 2 years later? Move him then? You know, I don't know. Maybe bring in a guy so close. And you're right. It is luck, you know, and those early moves turned out, those early, you know, moves that they made were lucky and they worked out. It's just one of those things where it just seems like they were afraid of success or who knows what, you know, I don't know that they were afraid of success, but just, you know, one they little were move afraid like that, that might have.
I think they were afraid of having to really enter the dark ages again.
Yeah.
And rebuild.
Yeah. I mean, it makes
a lot of things happened that a lot of fans didn't want to see. AJ Burnett retired. They didn't kick him off the team, you know.
Right.
They didn't fail to re-sign him. He retired.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Mariano fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
League kicked him out.
And you know, let's call it what it is. McCutcheon, something went wrong there. He was not the same guy.
Right.
It happened years earlier. But, you know, I think, like, big picture, I think what they want to do this time, and hopefully, and our buddy Bob Nutting says he's learned from it, to see it through the next time when it happens. Like, don't get there and then not be afraid to see it through and just be kind of almost like, oh, God, thank God we made it. We're almost happy to be here, and let's not get carried away. Well, you know what? No one's saying you got to get carried away, but it doesn't do all that good. It doesn't do any good to get all that way, and then right at the end, just get a little hesitant about how you're doing it. Yeah, so hopefully that would be the difference.
I think that's almost a cute re-remembrance of what actually happened.
Because, you think so?
Yeah. The payroll got up to a certain point. In fact, 2016, it was higher than 2015. So the payroll got up to a certain point via arbitration. They had the retirement of AJ Burnett. Neil Walker was exactly what they thought Neil Walker was when they traded him, regardless of what they got back for him. They thought his back was shot. His back was shot. But, I mean, that's all there was to it. Andrew McCutcheon fell off a cliff. Starling Marte did drugs. I mean, like, Liriano stunk. Just absolutely stunk.
Cole
wasn't as good as he should have been.
Yeah.
But maybe we're talking about two different things, though, too, Gary. Is like, I'm talking more about not so much after the fact. It was just during the run that I would have liked to have seen them be just a little bit more aggressive. And I know everyone's
going
to point.
You're saying, like, basically, instead of Cervelli, go get Riamolta or, you know, something along those lines.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm talking more in the moment, trying to see it through rather than.
I'm talking after the fact, because I'm saying, like, the payroll is bad.
Correct.
With all that stuff I just listed, in order to keep that team together, as people love to rant and rave about. And man, we get off topic, but this is way more fun.
Yeah.
So, but in order to keep that team together, you would have had to spend up to like 180, period. Just to try. Jay Happ wasn't staying. Toronto was going to pay him whatever he wanted. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah,
there was no winning in 2016. I get what you're saying, though. They should have maybe gone more after it in 2013.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that's funny because this is what makes sports conversations great, is that just like Twitter, we're our mindset is in a different spot, even when we're talking about it, which creates the confusion, which is social media and Twitter. So, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, we got off topic, but I do think some of it does translate to this time when they get there and how they're going to approach it. And hopefully,
you're right. Stay the course, though. That's what was said. So you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking about when you see that the moment is rapidly approaching. Boy, they better invest some to not miss that window again. That's my big point.
I totally agree. And I usually have to try to disagree with you because you're the anti-ex-wife of mine. That was really good though, man. I'm actually glad we changed topics. That was better than the poll. Maybe that should have been our poll.
I will talk about the 2013 to 2015 Pirates any day. I don't get nearly enough opportunity.
It's a good idea. We should do a whole regular life.
Real quick, but before we go to a break or something, Rob, when you go to games, let's say you go to a Nationals game or wherever, What's your attire like? Do you go full Yinzer mode, or are you reserved, or do you bust out like the Clemente jersey, and how do you roll?
Okay, well it varies.
In these parks?
I usually keep it a little, and it wasn't always like this. These days I keep it a little understated, you know, maybe just a t-shirt, maybe a cap. Don't really do the jersey too often. Oh, that's just because it's hot. But it has been known to happen. The exception being, I got a group of friends, that I went to that I kind of, you know, grew up with, in Kent, Ohio. And we have, it hasn't happened the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but we had a nice 6-year run of going to a Pirate game and an Indians game in the same day,
Well, that's cool.
You know, like, yeah, drive from Cleveland to Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh to Cleveland or whatever, and go see two games, a day game and a night game. And I get all decked out for those, you know, stovepipe cap, the big stance, the knee-high stance socks, the whole deal. We made t-shirts.
Very cool.
It was awesome. So, it can really go either way. But generally, I save the really ridiculous costumes for those days.
No, that awesome. Sounds like an awesome idea, actually.
It's a blast, man. I mean, it is a long day, but if you can do the road game, because my mom lives just outside, about 40 minutes from Cleveland. So, you know, if you can do the road game first, do the Pittsburgh game for the day, matinee in Pittsburgh, and then drive back to Cleveland and see the night game there. And then, you know, it's a blast. I mean, it's just it's. You'd
be
think
hard
it'd be
to
too
do
much
that
of a
with
good
the Pirate
thing.
Game first, Jim, with no drinking.
Well, that's an expensive Uber ride. That's why there's six of us, because somebody always draws the short straw and they're the one who has to drive. Luckily, I know a couple of teetotalers, and they'll they'll always step up and take the reins for that. But you'd think it'd be too much of a good thing, but it turns out it's almost not quite enough of a good thing, even though it's a lot of a good thing.
I'm gonna have to steal that idea.
Yeah.
No, I love that idea.
Yeah.
That sounds
it's
great.
Super cool.
All right. Well, let's take another quick break here. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the international signing period that's coming up here really quick, opening up on the 15th. Welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. The last subject I wanted to talk about today was the upcoming international signing period. It opens on the 15th, and the Pirates are in position here to get some pretty decent players, it looks like. They're in line right now to get the number 12 available, and I'm probably not pronouncing this correctly, but I'm going to try as best I can. Yordani De Los Santos. They love De Los Santos. We've had so many of those now, it feels like. But this is the number 12 available player in the pool. And he's another super tall O'Neill Cruz type shortstop prospect. Looks to be a little more filled out than O'Neill was at that age, 16 years old. The interesting thing about him is that up until very recently, he was on track to be signed by Tampa Bay. Not sure what happened there, but pretty interesting. And actually, I believe I got that backwards because the next prospect I'm talking about is that guy. That's Tony Blanco Jr. He's the 11th ranked prospect available. He's a 6'5", 230-pound outfielder with a power tool of 55. I mean, I don't want to get carried away here, and I'm certainly not going to act like this is puts us in the World Series by a certain year or anything like that. But combine that with Solomon Maguire from a couple years ago and Poyu Chen and Shaylin Polanco, who was the number 11 prospect last year, they are making some moves here that are bringing in some talent. And I'm going to throw out an interesting name, Jim, and before I toss it over to you so that you can take the blame for bringing it up.
Okay.
Juan Soto was the 13th best prospect at one point in this poll. So you should not just turn a blind eye to these signings. I know they're a long way away, but that doesn't make them any less interesting or important.
First and foremost, I mean, people have to realize that these are 16-year-old kids. I mean, so we're not talking guys that are on the precipice of Major League Baseball. I think if you were to even get extremely lucky and hit on one of these kinds of dudes, you're talking 4 years before easily, you would even. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking like optimal situation, Wander Franco type.
Yes.
Juan Soto type, you know, home
you're
run.
You're talking low A by 17, 18.
Yeah. And just automatically just forcing his way just based on the fact that they're so ready. So, yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing about this draft is and I found something, so bear with me here 1 second. The guys like Soto, Tatis, Marte, Acuna, Ozzie Alves, these guys, none of them were the best paid signees in their class.
Right.
So, I mean, you're talking about the who's who of guys, and you can find them, and interestingly enough, they weren't even the marquee name or the highest paid player that ended up signing a deal. So hugely important. Again, it tells you how hard it is to identify some of these guys, but it's a great way for a team like the Pirates to try to get some of that young talent and see what it becomes.
Right. And Rob, one of the points that I think is interesting here, we've had a few of these now to look at from Ben Cherington. He's done a good job with it. I think he's expanded the reach to Asia and Australia. I think that's interesting. He's pulling some good talent from there. It's not all just the Dominican and all about the DSL at this point. He's been doing a good job with actually taking some of the top guys off the board and locking them in. Neil Huntington had a different approach where it was more of a carpet bombing, I would say. He just would sign as many guys as he could. There's a cap on how much you can actually spend in this market, but anything under 20,000 didn't count. So gotcha. He would sign 20 of those guys. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Some of those guys have turned into something here. You know, the Pirates have not done poorly in this market. Gregory Polanco came from that. You can say that he ended up stinking, but to get a guy to the major leagues and have a 7-year career is a success in this market. Right. It really is. Starling Marte, Rodolfo Castro, J1 Bay is coming up. You know, it's not as though it was completely devoid. O'Neill Cruz came up from the international pool, just from LA. What do you think of the different approaches there? Do you like the throw as much at the wall and see what sticks with young kids like this? Or do you think it's better to target some of these top talents like Ben Cherington is? Because I read those stats, 6'5", 230. I'm excited about that. But I've also seen kids here in America, 6'5", 230 at 16, that they just end up getting fat. That would, you know. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but
right.
You don't know how these kids are going to develop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, boy, you know, I can kind of see the benefit in both approaches, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. I'm just, there's a difference for sure here. It's pretty stark.
Yeah, I mean, why not try something different? I guess, when you see something like that, when you see that kind of statistic, you have to get at least a little bit interested, right?
Right.
When you have someone, with stats like that, especially when you see, the Soto example is a good one. That's where he came from. That's what. The rankings sort of match up, a lot of potential there. So I can see the benefit in having just every, just a huge roster of players, but going in and finding someone you really like and making a play for them. Can't go wrong with that either.
I mean, if you think about it, like from the regular draft, Jim, we're talking about like the first five rounds of this year's draft, the Pirates feel reasonably confident they can turn them into major league players. Okay. That's pretty good. And when you get a top 10 guy or top 15 guy in the international pool, that tends to kind of work out to like a second or a third round pick. So seems like, the approach works there. Before Shaylen Polanco last year, it had been more than a decade since the Pirates inked a top 15 prospect in this pool. And when we talk about how devoid of talent the farm system has been, man, to me, I'm happy to see something different, even if I can't put my thumb on why it's better.
Well, Rob said something that I think is absolutely true. And when you talk about the international draft like this, is you really can make an argument both ways. The quality over quantity thing is great. But it's also really nice to be able to go and spread that out and see if you can't, instead of one lottery ticket you feel better about, what about five that you feel decent about? I mean, especially when you've got to get all this talent from within your system, which they technically would be at that point,
Right.
So it's tough. I really do think you could sit here and do a split screen and argue with yourself over it on each side of it, and it would make perfect sense.
I would say before the contraction of minor league baseball that Rob Manfred pulled off just, a year ago, I think I could make more of an argument for the way that Neil Huntington used to do it. But now you kind of can't afford to be bringing in 20-30 raw prospects that quickly. And I know they have the DSL, but you can only have so many guys down there. So maybe this approach was not even a philosophy of Cherington, but more forced upon him by circumstance. Because if you think about it, that's rough to think about bringing that many prospects in.
It is. I mean, it's one of those things where, I guess it would come down to is maybe it should change every time you're in this position for the draft, is that, you know, if you think you're in a really good spot with one guy and you've ID'd that guy and you want to pour the resources into one or two players, then maybe you should go that route. Maybe it shouldn't be set in stone from an organizational philosophy standpoint. I know that's typically not how it's done. I think teams, let me give you a horror story that I did find was the Yankees have gotten burned in the past just with they dropped out at the last minute with Wander Franco and let the Rays have him. And they chose to spend their money and their resources on like five of the top 30 picks. They went, nope, you know what? We'll go that route.
Right.
Well, that was a huge miss, obviously, knowing what we know now. And now they are kind of redirecting back to zeroing in on a couple guys, throwing all the money toward right. that. So, I mean, it's not just the Pirates that are in this situation. Every team has to make a decision about how they're going to go about it.
There's one last point that I wanted to just mention on this international pool, because one of the things that hasn't come up officially yet, but I know it was a wish of the players, was to potentially roll the international draft into the regular baseball draft. And I don't know what they would do to the age there. Would they change the age that you can draft a player to younger, or would they just up the age of international picks? Either way, do you guys think that's a good idea, or do you like the current system as it is? Because I could go with that either way as well. And Rob, I'll let you start with that. Is it okay with you the way it is, or do you think they should just roll them in and make them all 18?
Oh, boy. I mean, that just seems like such a huge amount of, you know, just of players to pull from, doesn't it? I mean,
to accurately scout, at least, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, and even, I mean, if you even just boil it down to being at separate times of the year so that your staff has time to, you know, concentrate on the one draft and then you concentrate on the other one. You know, it just seems like an awful lot to throw all together all at once.
It feels like it would rob opportunity from some people that otherwise wouldn't have it.
Yeah. Well,
I worry about that, you know, because the first thing Major League Baseball would do is pull scouts out of the area. Because if they're only gonna pick the top guys, they're gonna send guys to focus on De Los Santos and Blanco and whoever else the top couple guys are, and they're gonna be in the top 2-3 rounds of the baseball draft, and that's it. They're just like any other player at that point. You know, like to me,
I think I look at it like I know, like, from the owner's standpoint, I think they want to keep things right where they're at. Right. This becomes some high upside guys that you don't have to spend a lot of money on. It keeps labor costs down, you know, essentially. That's how I see it. I can't see the owners being all that interested in changing what is a pretty good deal for them right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you. I don't think it's on the table, and I don't think it will be. But I guess I just start to think about certain aspects of the things that are being asked for and how they would change them and the unintended consequences of them. You know, like we just saw that graduation ceremony down there at the Dominican Academy for the Pirates players at the school down there. Things like that, and it's sad to say, but that wouldn't happen for some of those kids.
Yeah.
If they didn't have this international draft that pulled them into a baseball system and started cultivating them. It's something to me that I'd hate to see go away, because I think it's one of the things that has really changed baseball for the better. Like, look at most of the exciting young players in the league right now that we just keep discussing, like Juan Soto and Tatis and Wander Franco and Acuna. Where did they all come from, right? I mean, the international draft, and some of them have some legacy behind them as well to get them some attention. But
it's almost a shame that they don't have better representation or a little bit bigger of the pie. But we know how that works too. So, it's certainly not going to be set up to benefit them. And, maybe as time goes on and more of these players are coming through and just the impact of them, maybe there's some ground to be made up there too.
Maybe, but I don't think there's enough time in the universe that Einstein could even envision that are going to make some team pay $5 million for a 16-year-old that they're not sure is actually interested in being a professional baseball player yet.
You never know, Gary. It's baseball. These teams with money, they do a lot of crazy things.
So basically your theory is the movie The Rookie is real.
I don't know, because I've never seen it, and so full admission, that's something I'll have to brush up on.
You're not missing anything. Hey, I think that's a good place to end this week, though. I really had a good time, especially our topic that wasn't supposed to be. I really enjoyed that. That was awesome. We should definitely talk more about that period of time and some of our conspiracy theories on both ends of that window, because that was good stuff.
Yeah, there's more to that. Maybe we can revisit it.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, and, I said, anytime.
Rob, you come up to town, man. We got to have a beer. We'll sit down and talk face to face, man.
But, absolutely.
Say goodbye to everybody and give yourself a little plug, and then we'll move on.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. You know, like I said, love talking Pirates baseball, and don't get nearly enough chance to do it, you know, except on the machine. But yeah, if, my website, if you'd care to stop by, is, robullman.com, robullman.com. My strip, Cartoon Cannon, runs every Sunday morning on DK Pittsburgh Sports, which you're probably all aware. In case you're not, please check it out. And you know, if you think of it, pop into the comments section and just drop me a line on, you know, what you think of that week's strip or whatever. It's always nice to hear that kind of feedback. I'm always jealous of the more controversial stories on the site that have like 188 comments, and I have like, you know, 7.
Next week his drawing is going to be Bonds didn't deserve to get in, and it'll just be a sad face Bonds like,
oh, it's, you know, I'm getting to slim pickings. I was thinking about it today, and I think I have a, you know, specific timely idea for Sunday's strip. We'll see how it turns out.
Terrific, man.
Dude, I don't know how you, like, I have the artistic ability of a cinder block. So I don't know how you do it. I'm always amazed by people that have that creativity aspect. And I'd like to see what you do. And God, you made us look halfway decent. So
yes, we definitely have the best ones. I mean, they came out great. They really did.
Yeah, so. You know, that was fun. You know, it's always, fun to like get a the challenge was somebody you don't know anything about their personality or whatever, so you know you're just going off right. Photograph and but I don't know, all the ones for the podcast were a lot of fun. It was a good time doing that.
Well, we appreciate it, man, and we appreciated having you on and your insight on some things, and I really loved having that talk about that period of time. I'm serious, that was great.
That's good time.
Mr. Stam, everybody in the household is feeling better.
Yes. I was the only one that somehow contracted COVID, and everything's good. I'm back to normal, whatever that is. And you want to reach out to me on Twitter, it's for the city _412 or @JimStam22. You know me, guys. All Pittsburgh, all the time.
I have reached a new low for COVID right now. I mean, I have had it 3 times, and my low is not having COVID. My low is that my new neighbor decided to have their child learn violin. And it's the worst experience of my entire life, Jim. It's terrible. I can hear every shrieking twang of the wires, and I just can't do it.
Wow. That's that would not be other than maybe drums for this, yep. the sheer loudness of it, but violin, that's got a special pitch that you're dealing with there.
It's definitely pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And like it, every time I really, really get down about it, I look at my cats because they're the ones that are really upset. I don't know what they think's going on in the walls, but they both hate it. So, anyways, great week, everybody. And I don't want to fumble on the two here. So make sure you do stop by the live show January 22nd at North Shore Tavern at 2:00. We're going to be there. Tons of good stuff, a lot of giveaways, bobbleheads, all kinds of stuff for everybody. Come out, participate online or in person. Super excited to have you. Follow the show, Pirates Fan Forum on Twitter. Subscribe. Give us a rating like Dayon's always asking. If you like the show, please give us a rating. It really means something to us. And without further ado, I think it's time for Mr. Ben to say goodbye.
Yes, yes, but.